Hey, y'all, welcome back to A Race to State. A little late, as always. Get used to it. Back here with Mikey Two Names. What's up, brother? How you doing?
Doing good, Maddie. Thanks for having me, man. Excited to be here and get one last little show in before I get out of Dodge for the next week.
Where the fuck are you going?
Scottsdale.
I thought you were going to Phoenix. Is that the same thing?
Yeah, dude. It's like the Woodlands of Houston or Cypress to Houston. You know what I mean? It's like a...
Okay.
I don't know. I've never been there, but I've been told that it's like a ritzy, upscale place. I kind of think of it. That's why I said the Woodlands. That's kind of right on the base of a mountain. It's supposed to have good golfing, good... like a fun bar scene, good weather. So me and somebody's going to go up there and golf for a few days.
Bachelor party?
Yeah, like a low-key one.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, these are like a lot more chill people than the normal crew.
Nah, lame.
Yeah, people that have like careers and a life they don't want to sacrifice.
Is this gonna be like the fucking Hangover? Like, oh yeah, we're going to Napa, don't worry, and then I have to fucking bail you out or something in Vegas.
Those are always the worst nights, right? When you go out, you're like, yeah, I'm gonna have like a beer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've never done that with you before, ever, right?
Pit stop in College Station.
Yes, you remember that time we went to fucking Baker Street, and I was trying to be real cool around the cops and slide those metal chairs out of the way.
Yeah, you painted the side of my truck that night.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude! It's better than cowboy stripes. That shit washes off. God.
Barely, not when it's solidified.
So speaking of late nights and speaking of cops, like we like to do on this show, you know. We don't like to be super topical, but this is definitely a kind of a big deal in the news. And to get back to our last show that we talked about with Brother Rock, you know, the local government is sort of the most influential part of the government on your life, right? We have more touches with the local government every day than we do so the federal government. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the Amber Geiger trial that went down. I know you don't know a whole lot about that, Mikey, which yeah, I'm kind of surprised, but.
Yeah, I've kind of stayed away from that one. And man, I've just kind of stayed away from the news in general. Though I feel like the last week, I really didn't pay attention to anything. So, I knew about it. I saw it, of course, on Twitter and, you know, all the Insta faces, the basic websites, Drudge. But so, I haven't really dug into it.
So since you don't know, I'll give you the 30-second Cliff Notes. So Amber Geiger comes home to her apartment in Dallas, right? This is Dallas PD. She's coming off a long shift, not a long shaft. Or maybe she was. Who knows? Maybe there's a long shaft on the long shift. Maybe that's why it took so long. I don't know. So at any rate, she comes home to her apartment, right? She just gets done sending a dirty text to her partner, I believe, is how the story went down, how the timeline happened.
Like significant other or like officer?
Partner? Her partner. Her officer partner. I think that's how it worked. I could be lying, but I don't really care. Fuck it. Nobody listens to the show anyway. So she pulls in the parking garage, comes out of the parking garage, walks up to her. I guess there was a garage. Who fucking knows? Walks up to what she believes is her apartment. There's a doormat at this apartment, which is not her doormat. Doesn't take notice of that. The door apparently is either slightly ajar or unlocked. So she walks in, sees a black man sitting on a couch, eating a bowl of ice cream. She decides that's a threat. The black man says something to the effect of like, hey, 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 I believe. And then she shoots him until he is dead. Then she does not render aid, because as it came out in trial, she had no blood on her uniform or hands. She did not perform any sort of CPR. She immediately called or texted or got in touch with her partner and said, I need help. I fucked up, blah, blah, blah. That sort of shit, right? That's kind of where it is. So the guy that she shot is, he's a man named Botham Jean. He was an accountant, young guy, like 26, 28, something like that. He was an immigrant from somewhere in the Caribbean, I think. But there's nothing to indicate that, you know, anything nefarious happened in between her entering the wrong apartment and him getting shot. other than the fact that she pulled the trigger on him until he died. It did come out in the news. Somebody tried to kind of leak the, well, you know, we searched the apartment and we found some weed, blah, 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 to try and, like, you know, discredit him. Yeah.
Got another one off the street.
Exactly.
Off the apartment.
And that kind of died really quickly because there was so much backlash on those stories. But as things tend to go with you know, police and the Thin Blue Line, whenever somebody dies on the wrong end of a police officer's gun, it usually works out that it goes in the cop's favor, right? We tend to see that a lot. Even when it's, you think it's like a slam dunk case, like, man, this guy, like, he fucked up. There's no way he's getting off on this. And it's like, oh, well, you know, time served or whatever, right? So no one really had high hopes in this, but I believe this happened about a year ago, maybe less than a year ago. I honestly don't remember. But yeah, so she got found guilty, and I think the driving factor that caused the guilty verdict from the jury was, they did seek murder. So the state sought murder in this. A lot of people have been talking about on Twitter how, and I'll say it, I don't really care. Again, there's like less than 100 people that listen to this show every week. So, yeah, Mikey's one of them. He's raising his hand. But, you know, there were some, shitbag white people on Twitter talking about, well, she's only getting convicted because she shot a nigger, that kind of shit. And those people can eat my dick. I don't really care if she's a cop. I don't really care who she killed. She entered somebody else's apartment and killed them. So in the state of Texas, you can seek murder. The state can seek murder. Manslaughter was also on the table. But one of the requirements what's that?
Just from my knowledge, man, what exactly is the difference between manslaughter and, is manslaughter accidental, but doesn't, is murder mean like you had to have intent, and manslaughter is murder without intent?
So in the state of Texas, and maybe manslaughter is not even a charge that the state can seek. Maybe it's like a form of homicide, but they all fall under homicide basically. So for a murder charge, one of the requirements in the state of Texas is that the perpetrator has to have knowingly and willingly caused the death, right, of an individual. So on the stand,
and murders. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It says in Texas, manslaughter is viewed as a crime in which a person recklessly causes death of another. In Texas does not have separate manslaughter charges for intoxication and vehicle manslaughter. Huh. See, murder is between 5 and 99 years in prison, while capital murder is punishable by death or with life without parole. Okay, cool.
So on the stand, the prosecution asked her, when you shot Mr. Jean, and I'm paraphrasing, when you shot Mr. Jean, did you intend to kill him? And she looked at the attorney and said, yes. So, I mean,
which is what they're trained to do, right?
Exactly. Well, that's what anybody's trained to do. I mean, you can't really falter, right, on that case, right? You can falter for a lot of things, but honestly, when you first take, you know, your gun class, all about, you know, trying to defend yourself, people will always tell you, every instructor will say, you don't stop pulling the trigger until the threat's down and stopped moving, right? And you don't want to go to court after you've shot somebody and face that person. You'd rather face his family in a civil trial versus face that person that you didn't kill in a murder trial, right? Mm-hmm. So you shoot to kill. And that's kind of, it goes part and parcel with owning a firearm. But it's when you're a little kid, you first pick up your first gun, what does your dad tell you, your uncle, your grandfather? He says, hey, you don't point at anything that you don't want to kill, right? Yep.
And shoot to kill anything, animal, person, whatever.
So, right. Like I said, there's a lot of things you can falter for, and I will. But in that instance, yeah, she did what any gun owner would do, any cop would do. You know, she thought there was a threat, even though there wasn't. But yeah, so she sought to kill the guy. Okay, so murder. Great.
And she was sentenced to with murder, right?
Yeah, she got convicted of murder. Okay. Yeah. So I was honestly surprised. Leading up to this, the judge in the case, who I believe, I didn't dig into it, and I probably should have, but, you know, as the few listeners that we have know, we're not prepared for this sort of shit. So I should have looked into it a little bit more, but I believe the judge has some sort of connection to, like, I don't know, like there was some sort of like back the blue thing for her, like her reelection campaign. I don't remember what it was. Anyway, she's tied into law enforcement somehow. So she allowed the jury to consider the Castle Doctrine, which for those of you who aren't in Texas or aren't familiar with Texas law, we have what's called the Castle Doctrine, where, you know, basically our property, our home, our abode is our castle. So we have no duty to retreat. It's kind of a sensible law, but it only really applies to our property, right? Exactly. And as we've mentioned,
breaking into somebody else's property.
Yeah, she was not. I mean, if you want to be generous, right? She was at the very least trespassing. So I don't know how Castle Doctrine could apply, and I don't know if that was, you know, an effort by the judge to kind of help out one of her colleagues. Basically, they're all part of the same government, right?
Right.
So I don't know if that was her trying to help out, but I have read some people.
She says that she gave a hug here.
Well, I know, and we'll get to some of that too. But so I've heard that some people postulating on Twitter thought that maybe she allowed the jury to consider the Castle Doctrine just so that if she only sent the jury back to decide on conviction with murder and manslaughter on the table, that the thought, I guess, was that there could be some chance of appeal, because her whole defense was that I thought it was my house, or I thought it was my apartment.
Okay, yeah, I see where they're going with it.
Right. So I don't know if maybe there was some stretch they were trying to pull there and say, well, she thought she was at home, so she should have been able to use the Castle Doctrine defense, and that they didn't want her to come back on appeal and have that work. Right. So at first I was a little upset that the judge allowed that, but I can see the other argument, and I'm not the judge. I don't know why she allowed the jury to consider it, but it makes sense on the appeal part.
Yeah, and it's still so weak. That's like freaking an Amazon delivery guy delivering a parcel to your front door, and you just blow his head off, and you go, exactly. Dude, Castle Doctrine. They'd be like, no, that's not even... doesn't
not the proper application of that defense.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, anyway, she gets found guilty of murder. She's facing 5 to 99.
She says 10 years.
She ended up getting 10 years, and... I don't know. There was some discussion if she got like anything less than 11, I think she might be eligible for parole, but I don't know all the details on that.
Really?
Which it kind of blows, but I don't know. At any rate, so she got convicted. She was found guilty. I don't know how to feel about it, honestly, because
it's both ways, right? If she legitimately walked in, like, and just fuck, you know, exhausted out of her mind and threw the dude away, it's like, well, fuck, dude. I'm sorry. You still have to, you still got to go to prison. You still are in the wrong. You still killed an innocent man. You know, it's a shitty situation. You're not evil, right? But you got to go.
Right.
Or on the other hand, was there a scuffle between the two of them that we don't know about? Maybe a, you know, like you said, maybe a lover's triangle or just anything.
Yeah. And some of that's been, you know, bantied about in the past few months about. And it's all been rumor, right? No one really knows what the relationship, if they even had a relationship, the two of them.
Knew each other at all.
Yeah, so I remember some people were trying to say, like, well, maybe they were, like, they had dated before and it ended badly. So this is, like, her way of, like, getting back at him, right? Because I think they did they ran a blood panel, and she wasn't drunk, allegedly. She wasn't under the influence of any intoxicating substance.
Really?
But I've also read some comments that maybe the lab and the police force helped her out a little bit on that and made it not so bad. Cause her whole thing was that she worked a 13 or 14 hour shift, and she was really tired, and she came home and she was confused. Oh, okay. I mean, I don't know. I've been up for a long time working, like when I actually used to do physical work with my hands, and I didn't come back so tired that I was like delirious.
Yeah, I've never been this in mind. The only people I know that have actually walked in the wrong houses and stuff and been that exhausted are people that take Ambien.
Exactly. Right. So that's what leads people to believe, like, man, maybe she was like, surely she was out drunk or whatever. I don't know. I mean, she wasn't in a uniform, so I guess she wasn't at a bar drinking, but I don't know. So where was I? I don't remember how we got here. But so she comes back.
You're talking about the judge.
Yeah. Yeah. So she comes back after this long shift, right? She goes to the wrong apartment and she blows this guy away. Man, I'm really lost. I really forgot how we got here. What did I say like 30 seconds ago?
You were talking about the Castle Doctrine and how they were using it to justify this case. And then that was about it. And then you're here.
Whatever. I'll fix it. So at any rate, I don't know. So the judge, like I said, she allows the Castle Doctrine. I guess there was some sort of thought she might, because she was out of it, delirious, too tired, I don't know, that she might use that as an appeal. Gets found guilty, gets sentenced to 10 years, and then some kind of weird shit starts to happen. So at her sentencing, Botham Jean's brother, who was the victim, Botham Jean's brother speaks, and I guess it's sort of like the family statement, you know, to the jury or whatever, like the impact statement. So he gets up on the stand. His name is Brant Jean. This is where I was. So I'm really torn because let's say she made a real mistake, right? It happens every day. Now, I'm not saying that people make a mistake and shoot people every day, but people get hit by cars. People fall off cliffs.
There's 400 million people in this country.
Right. Accidents happen and people die. And it's sad, right? Because that person's dead. And then the person who was, I don't want to say guilty, because not in all cases, like there was some, you know, criminal intent or nefarious intent. But the person who was responsible for that other person's death, their life is also ruined, right? It's the same thing in this case. If you take her at her word, and she was just tired, she was confused, and she really thought she was in her own house, you know, her life is ruined too. It doesn't matter if she got 0 years, right? If she got time served, her life is ruined. She has a murder conviction on her record, right? And then Botham Jean's not going to work the next day. His family seems very loving. He's not talking to them anymore. They've lost a brother, you know. They've lost a son. But if you don't take her at her word, and she did just like whatever, maybe she wasn't careful enough. She did make a mistake, but it's like shit that you have to kill the guy who was eating a fucking bowl of ice cream. You didn't notice, like, your apartment doesn't have a rug in front of the door. There's no doormat. His did. You didn't notice that. You walk in, you didn't notice that the furniture is different. Is it even faced the same way? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, there's a lot of things going on there that even if you were messed up, like, I got to think you'd realize, like, man, this is not like, hey, man, sorry, you know, backing out. Like, I, big mistake, walked into the wrong house, you know? But no, she fucking kills the guy. So at any rate, you know, Brant Jean gets on the stand and he makes a statement, and we've talked about it before. And even last week with Brother Rock, man, like, as we're all trying to be, like, you know, better brothers and sisters and better Christians and you know, love each other a little bit more than we do, like, he got up and said, you know, my family might not agree with me, and I'm paraphrasing again, but, like, you know, I forgive you. And it was this, like, just the most Christ-like, like, what Christians claim to be and few are, like, the most Christ-like response to a tragedy in their family, where, I mean, he was the first one to request the hug. Like, he wanted to give her a hug and just say, hey, I forgive you. Your life's over. My brother's life is over. You know, I don't know if I could be that big of a person if one of my family members got murdered in such a way. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that I have that much love in me to do that. So he does that. But then, as you brought up, and I didn't realize until, I guess, a day or so ago, the judge also asked for a hug, which,
well, I read it.
Yeah.
When you were kind of talking right there, that she asked the judge for a hug, and, oh no, she asked the judge if there would still be, like, meaning in her life. Does her life still have meaning after she was sentenced? And the judge told her, yes, your life would still have meaning. And she asked the judge for a hug, and she didn't give her one. And then she asked her for another hug a second time. At that time, the judge gave her one, is what it's saying over here.
It's still a little interesting to me. I don't know. I don't know if there's anything untoward going on there, but it just, I don't know. I see judges as people who are supposed to be completely impartial. And
well, it says she's getting some mad hate because the judge was black, a black lady, and it says that she's getting some hate from the African-American community on giving her a hug. And she said that, well, she was like, I was just reminded internally about my responsibility to show love and compassion to all. So, all right. Okay. I mean,
Yeah. Again, I tend to allow people to say what they mean. So
maybe she's a cool judge and she doesn't throw everybody in jail for having weed on them or being drunk in public.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Like I said, I'm sure somebody out there's done the research. So if that somebody is listening to this show, please let us know.
Nobody smart that does research listens to this shit.
Certainly not us anyway.
You can just lie through your teeth for exactly. hours.
So another interesting little twist in the case. I read, and I don't know what the veracity of such claims may be, but when the case first happened, when Botham Jean was first shot and killed, I believe one of his neighbors on the same floor, I think she heard the shots, and so she steps outside, and she starts taking video. And if this is completely inaccurate, I apologize, but this is what I read. So I believe she's taking like a cell phone video of just kind of like the aftermath, right? So like the lady cop is outside and, you know, she's on the phone and trying to get people to come over and blah, blah, blah. So there's a video of this, right? I don't think it's ever been publicly released, but apparently that young lady down the hall, I don't remember her name, but she basically got so much attention locally that she ended up getting fired from her job. I don't remember what she did as a profession, but there were some sort of certifications that went along with her job, and those were revoked, not only, I believe, in the state of Texas, but like totally revoked. Like she can't work anywhere in the U.S. using that license anymore. So I would speculate that this is some sort of retaliation by the Dallas Police Department to have what they view as a detractor and a troublemaker punished, basically. Outside of the court system, extrajudicially, there you go. Drinking a little wine over here, Mikey.
I see.
So the words aren't coming smooth tonight.
What kind of wine is that?
Yeah, it's just a shit Cab Sauv. I don't know. I don't remember the name. It's not
Kroger,
great.
Kroger, HEB brand?
No, I think somebody gave it to us. It's okay.
I'm drinking.
They're not listening to the show, so I don't mind.
I can't say anything. Trying to kick off the beer for a little bit. Topo Chico's,
I see that.
Every night. It gives me the sensation that I'm drinking a beer, just not the after excitement.
I drink just, you know, soda, like HEB brand LaCroix, or the Heeb, if you will.
Is that any good?
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. So I drink the lime flavor.
That's what I drink, lime Topo.
Basically,
Chico.
For the Dude, same so reason bomb. That you drink it, but I put vodka in mine.
It just gives me the false bubblies.
Yeah. So at any rate, so there's that young lady there that gets ousted from her job and she can't work in that field anymore, apparently. Also of note is, oh man, you've got the computer running. What's his name? He was like the star witness, basically.
Joshua Brown.
Yes, Joshua Brown. So Joshua Brown was a young kid, lived right across the hall, apparently, from Botham Jean. He was an entrepreneur. I believe he owned several rental properties in Texas and other states. By all accounts, he was a good guy. He lived life the right way. And he was just trying to do better than his parents did, right? It's like the American dream. You want to be more successful than your parents were, right?
And I have him pulled up right here while he's giving testimony. The dude just went up like 10 notches in my book.
Rocking the Dragon Ball Z t-shirt.
Dude, yes. I think I used to have that shirt.
Too. I knew you'd like that. Used to have it. I saw it in your closet 2 weeks ago. So,
that's pretty baller.
So anyway, he goes up and he's basically the only real witness that'll take the stand, right? So he doesn't know his neighbor, Botham Jean. But he did testify that he heard him several times singing, whether he'd be walking out of his apartment or whatever. But I think he did hear, you know, the shots, right? So that's all I really know about his testimony. I know he cried on the stand. I didn't, you know, read transcripts or anything. But a few days ago, when was this, Friday, Saturday, he was found murdered. I know that it had been written in a paper, and I don't know if it's some sort of like, I don't know what the term is, but I don't know if they're just trying to, I guess, sort of gaslight people to believe that he had some sort of like enemy out there. But the report was that he was scared that something bad was going to happen to him, I guess, because he was a young black male in inner city. I don't know. Right.
Yeah. It says he moved apartment complexes just to go, you know, just to go somewhere new.
Right.
He was murdered in that apartment but complex the, parking lot.
And his family mentioned that he had no enemies. No one was aware of any threats to his life. And what's interesting about his murder is that he wasn't just shot. And I don't know if there were reports of anything that was stolen, but I haven't seen any. He was shot once in the chest, I believe, and once
at a birthday party,
and then once in the mouth.
That was a year later. It says that he was at a party with his friends when a gunman opened fire in a crowd at his friends, hitting Brown in the foot. So he'd been shot once the year before.
Okay. Well, and in this instance, right? So he got shot in the chest. Is that correct? You got it up there?
I'm looking for it.
I think it's once in the chest, but once in the mouth also. And not sure, you know, how true it is, but it seems as though people have been speculating or claiming at least that like when a mob hit goes down, basically, if the guy was a snitch, they usually get shot in the mouth, the face, something like that. It's symbolic, right? To send a message. It's like cutting somebody's tongue out, right? It's like, oh, you want to snitch? Well, you get fucking stitches, right? We're going to cut your tongue out. You can't talk anymore. So what did he do? He snitched. Who'd he snitch on? The biggest mob there is, police department. So did the cops take him out? I don't know. I don't think it looks clean. There's no suspects. I don't know. You be the judge, dear listeners.
Yeah, I saw that meme going around where it's like the other young black kid shot a police dog got like 45 years in prison.
Well, that too.
It's like it's just the inconsistencies, man, about how they can just throw a book at someone for bullshit, and then they can also let somebody, you know, off pretty much a murder. Like,
right.
It's just the inconsistencies in the law and how they're applied to who they're applied to. It's absolutely mind-boggling.
Well, and it comes from, we allow the system to do it, but I mean, it gets driven into us at such a young age that when somebody's a cop, they're not a person anymore. They're a Superman, right? And that those are our heroes, and they have to be treated different. But when a cop shoots somebody, we're not allowed to think of them any differently, right? It's, well, Superman made a mistake, and that guy was just collateral damage. You know, no big deal, right? But that's all false. Cops are still just people. They just do a different job. They just wear different clothes during the day, right? But it's sad that it is the case typically that they do get treated differently, and they don't get.
Well, and it sucks for officers also, right? Because the ones who are legitimately like, all right, this is, you know, it's legit acceptable. Some dude's is opening fire on him, trying to kill him, and they shoot and kill the guy in defense. Then that dude's just gonna be questioning his old life too. Like, oh no, nah, he
right.
was just trying to take out some innocent guy on the street. So no matter what, everybody's kind of fucked.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're fucked by the system that's been created. So anyway, that's all I've got. I mean, like I said, it's been covered by others, but we hadn't covered it yet. And I don't like to be topical, but
I was thinking
a lot about it. I was thinking a lot about the case because I didn't think that she would get convicted, at least. And she did. And then once Botham Jean's brother, Brant, made his statement, it just kind of made me think. Because at first I was, like I said, the first reaction was happy. Like, man, I can't believe that, you know, that justice sort of got served, even though it's not really justice. Because real justice would be if Botham Jean were still alive. Mm-hmm. So there isn't really any justice here.
No.
There's no real equity. You can't just send somebody away for 10 years.
I don't
years.
Like how we say justice. It's usually just like kind of retribution or like legal retaliation.
She was held accountable. Like it's just accountability. She was held accountable. There was no justice here. But yeah, once he made his statement, I took another step back and just thought, man, like, you know, maybe I'm thinking about this all wrong. I don't know. I was kind of torn about the whole thing. Like I said, it's like you're happy that someone's held accountable for doing a bad deed, especially when it's when they're a member of a community that tends to get off in these situations. But then realizing that, you know, maybe she did make a mistake, and if it was a real mistake, like I said, her life is ruined too. And then the brother's statement, yeah, it's just, it's kind of a weird case, and I had a lot of emotions about it throughout the week, but I'm not going to get sappy, Mikey.
No, no, man, it's, dude, I just pulled up the news. I can't really talk shit. I've been out of the loop for this entire week, which is really unlike me. Usually I'm up in everything, but.
I know, you know more about shit than I do, usually.
Yeah, I didn't follow Amber Geyer, so I learned a little something today, so, you know, kind of depressing, shitty, but. Something else is brought to light, at least. And, fuck, like you said, there's really nothing else we can talk about that or go over or dive into unless we just want to go down conspiracy rabbit holes.
We can save that for another one.
Holy hell, though. I just, like, turned on, like, just pulled up basic news. So we're out of Syria?
Well.
Or did we leave the Kurds? What's going on? I literally just turned it on. It's like Trump pulls out. And it's just all these head tweets of. Which is really, really weird. A freaking all the Democrats getting pissed off at Trump for pulling out. Adam Schiff, Mitt Romney, Clinton, of course Shapiro, Engel, O'Rourke, Schumer. They're all pissed off that he pulled troops out. When did the Democrat Party fall in love with war?
We've been asking that for a long time, Mikey. They used to be on our side on this thing. I don't know.
What did he pull out? It says here he just pulled out.
Well, we're not.
He didn't even pull that many troops out. It's just like a very, very small fraction, I guess, that was training Kurd forces.
I hear it's like less than 30. Turkey. There's like less than 30 troops, I think, that got pulled out.
Really?
And it's just the, like one location, some outpost in northern Syria. We're just pulling back. I think that's. I'm going to butcher it. I don't know. I think Saudi wants to attack that. Turkey area. I don't know. If you want to learn more about foreign policy, just go listen to the Scott Horton show. I don't know. I'd be lying if I told you. I just saw it today too. So,
holy nah, man. There's all kinds of fun stuff going on here. More stuff. There's another whistle. Yeah, dude. There's too much stuff in the news. Another whistleblower.
Yeah. So I'll plug their show. Go listen to the Scott Horton show. Go check out antiwar.com. You will find all the information your heart desires about foreign policy in those locations.
Yeah, it's kind of horrible. I can't even. I really wish I knew a lot more about foreign policy, just in the sense that half the time when he comes on and starts talking about all these different factions and groups, I don't even know who the hell they are, which sucks because I try to, you know, I'm like, oh, I kind of know what's going on over there.
Yeah.
And I start listening to Scott Horton. I'm like, holy shit, dude, I don't know a damn thing that's going on.
But it's like Scott Horton says, though, right? It's like, you know, what do you like, Mikey? What do you know a lot about? Bless you.
Ooh, sorry, allergies. That northerner that's coming in tonight has just,
I know. Good. Destroyed. So what do you know a lot about, like, you know, sports, football, frac iron, right? Pick your poison, right? What's the one subject that you know a lot about? If you that's rhetorical, you don't have to answer it. If you replace that with foreign policy, you'd know as much as he did.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what he's devoted his that portion of his life to, and that's his job. So, you know, he looks like an expert, but it's just that he is because he studies it. That's just what he does, right?
Yeah, he's awesome. I don't know if it was Tom Woods or Dave Smith that got me hooked on him.
But yeah, I think it was Tom Woods for me.
The Tom Woods show, dude. That guy's another glorious 30 minutes of education for you.
Absolutely, just setting fire to the index card of allowable opinion every day.
Oh. Completely off topic. I know we're not on topic, and my mind's literally all over the place because I feel like I'm just like, it's turning back on.
It's okay.
Dude, have you gone and seen The Joker yet?
No, I haven't.
Ooh, I went and saw it on a Saturday night with the missus.
Bro, is it worth it?
I liked it, dude. It was 2.5 hours long, so it was a long movie. It wasn't a thriller or a, you know, action movie. It was a drama, suspense drama. And man, it was good. So when you watch a Dark Knight that Heath Ledger plays the Joker in,
mm-hmm.
like, you know what to expect. You know the Joker's effing insane. You know, he's just twisted and maniacal. And even though Heath Ledger just does a brilliant job, just an absolutely brilliant job being the Joker, you knew what to expect. He just delivered it better than anybody's ever delivered it, right?
Yeah.
So with Joaquin Phoenix, man, it was about how he, it was so like twisted and depressing and sad about how he comes from, obviously he's mentally ill, but innocent. He's just an innocent, mentally, he's almost like, they almost portray him as like someone with the knowledge and the demeanor of a 12-year-old. Like he just doesn't really know, like, almost right from wrong. You know what I mean?
He's
just
so like, he's like retarded.
He comes off as like autistic. He really does. He comes off as autistic, but not socially.
Well, that's Mikey. Like, that's offensive. Autistic kids are not retarded.
God damn it! I don't know what socially. What do you call it when someone is socially inept?
Retarded.
I can't keep up all these fucking.
I call them fucking retards. We're gonna get kicked off the air.
Jesus,
that's fine.
Well, anyways, man.
Look, I already quoted a racist guy by dropping the N-bomb. Now I'm calling people fucking retards. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
This could be our highest downloaded show.
And probably the last. So let me at least give my awesome review, because critics hated it. And if critics hate a show, that means it's good, right? Usually. If critics love a show, it's shit. Always. But his transformation into the Joker was just fucking brilliant. And I think the reason why people were like, oh, don't see the Joker, or we can't be shown this movie because it's going to inspire violence, da, 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 all that bullshit. I can kind of see where they're coming from, in the sense that you feel for him. Yeah, you feel for the Joker the entire time. Like, you're on his side. Even throughout his transformation, you understand why he's making the decisions he's making, mm-hmm. and why he's going down that path. And so you relate to him as a, you know, just someone watching the movie. And absolute brilliant writing, right?
Right.
But I can see, and that's probably why that, you know, people are freaking out saying, okay, if someone is actually, you know, insane, and they watch this, they can go, oh, dude, this is exactly how I feel. This justifies all my feelings. Time to act on it.
Yeah.
I think that's what I picked up. But it was great. I liked it.
I've heard all that controversy too about like, oh, it's gonna, you know, make people go out and, you know, be violent or whatever. It's the same old line that's been repeated since fucking rock music came on the air. But somebody who went and saw it, who I guess I don't remember who it was. I follow her on Twitter. I don't remember. It might have been Kimberly Ross. I don't know. Conservative writer, you know, from back in my pseudo conservative days. But she said, and if it wasn't her, it's somebody like her. She said something like, you know, everybody's concerned about violence and the violence in the film and stuff like this. And she said, you know, I watched it and there was more violence in any of the Dark Knight films, and more gun battles and more just death and destruction in any of those films.
In any Marvel comic movie, anything. There's really none of that in there.
But she said this one was like pretty tame. Yeah. Like it wasn't that bad.
Right. I guess it's the psychological torment that he goes through is just... Oh, he portrays it so well, man. You gotta watch it. You gotta watch it.
Maybe
anyone who's listening, go watch it. I'm actually way, way, way more of a DC fan than a Marvel, even though I feel like I love Marvel comic books more than I like DC. DC just on the movie side just does way better at not making it so childish. You know what I mean? Marvel just makes children movies.
I don't know anything about this.
Oh my God! What's wrong with you? Did you not?
I don't like comic book movies.
Ah, man.
I don't like comic books.
Oh, why?
Sorry to crush your dreams.
The worlds that they live in are more believable than ours.
That's pretty true. Honestly, that's pretty true. No, I do like the Batman stuff. I guess just because, you know, I grew up watching the old Batman movies and watching Adam West on syndication.
That's another thing. Oh, I loved Adam West. That was another thing. They tied in Batman Begins into this.
So is it in the same universe?
It's the exact same universe.
Because
the exact same.
But like Heath Ledger's Joker isn't the same Joker as Joaquin Phoenix's Joker.
completely different. So it's the exact same universe. It's the timelines actually even all tie in together and everything. Like where the Joker ends, like pretty much you can see where how Batman Begins starts. Of course, it's two different actors, right? I mean,
yeah.
It is two different Jokers. I mean, because Heath Ledger's not here anymore with us, right? But, and I bet Heath Ledger could also do an awesome rendition of this. But, dude, it's a completely different Joker in the sense that he's not mad yet. He's not the Joker. It's him becoming the Joker, which is why
it
felt fine seeing someone else do it other than Heath Ledger.
So it's the exact same Joker.
Yeah, he becomes that Joker. Yes, he does. Becomes Heath Ledger.
Does he get his face cut?
Yeah, watch, bro.
Fuck. All right. Well, would you watch it again?
Yeah, I would.
I'd
watch it again.
Maybe we should go watch it, and then we can do like an Erase the State movie review.
Live from the movies.
Erase the review. How about that? Erase the review.
Erase the review. I'd be down, dude. It was good, man. I hate going to the movies. I never go to the movies because I just hate paying so
Me too.
Much money to be in sticky seats that high schoolers are hooking up in. So, you know, I don't go. But
I feel
it was
you.
Worth going. It was either that or It. I wanted to go see It.
I want to go see that. Dude, I'll go with you. Do you want to go see it? I'll go.
It's
not out yet?
No, it's back on. It's already out of the theaters.
What?
Yep, because that's what we were going to go see. I was like, let's go see It. Let's go see it. I guess it's been out forever. And we just don't realize it. Because I was like, she was like, all right, let's go see it. And then she called me. She's like, I looked all over, you know, the area. None of the theaters are showing It. And I was like, fuck. All right, let's go see Joker.
They have to re-release it, right?
I mean, it's going to come back out on video. I mean, right?
But I mean, it's going to be in theaters. It hasn't been out that long. It's only been out for like a month.
Bro,
less than a month.
There. When we went right down the road. I checked out all three up and down the old parkway.
What about Alamo?
Yep.
Fuck.
Wasn't there.
All right.
Alamo,
well,
Cinemark, AMC,
if I can, Mikey,
Regal.
If I can find it, we're going.
Dude, I'm down. The first one was so good.
I know.
It was like
it
the
was
best
really good.
Mix of horror and comedy.
Because I want to see it because I like It a lot. I like the old original It. I haven't read the book, just seen the movies. But the first one was awesome. I went with Texas Tsunami.
Oh, really?
So... Well, and his lovely wife, who screamed during the movie, which was hilarious. my wife did not go because she won't watch scary movies. So I can't go see this one with her. But I want to go see it in theaters. So I'll go with you if I can find it.
Well, it's Halloween time, man, right? I mean, I hate scary
movies,
too. But, you know, I went and saw Michael Myers one, the new Halloween last year.
Hmm.
You know, not bad. I can do scary movies that have a crazy person in them.
Okay.
Anytime it starts getting into satanic shit,
yeah,
I freak out. Like paranormal, fuck me. Like
I'll be there for you, Mikey. It's okay.
Like, that gave me emotional scars.
I can tell. All right. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and get out of here, and I'll start looking for the movie, and we'll plan a movie date. Maybe we'll come back with some more reviews.
Hell yeah!
Does that
we'll
sound
beat
good?
All these stupid ass critics. I don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what the dumbed down general public like me enjoy.
Exactly. Fuck them hoe ass critics. So anyway, guys, y'all know what to do. Like, subscribe, review. Go listen to us. Go listen to our buddies. Yeah, tell your mom, tell your dad, tell your dog. Peace.
Peace be with you.
Cross a 57 Chevy with a hillbilly band. Had a little honky tonk filled with one night stands. Take a telly on fire with a gonzo steel. House space just to seal the deal. Yeah, top 40 country, better watch your back, 'cause this hot rod's faster than your Cadillac.